R. Washington versus the United States. All right.
Good morning. It pleases the court. My name is Tom Ivan. I'm from Peoria. I'm CJ, appointed counsel for Carl Washington. I represented him in the trial court and here on appeal. This case comes on an plea of guilty and sentence on an unarmed bank robbery. We're presenting one issue, that is whether or not the record supports a determination that there should be an adjustment pursuant to 3C1 of the sentencing guidelines for obstructions of justice based on a false statement of the defendant that during the course of this robbery he did not threaten the life of a teller. It's our contention that the district court did no more than determine that Mr. Washington's contention that he did not threaten the teller was false and did not address, reach, find, or in any way determine that the defendant's, at this point, well, I will say admittedly false statement, was a willful a lie to the court. A perjurious statement, an attempt to mislead the court, or in fact to obstruct justice. The court heard testimony of a bank teller, heard testimony of the defendant, seemed to center its inquiry around whether or not the defendant did make the threat or did not make the threat, ultimately determined that his testimony was less credible or in fact not credible with regard to lack of a threat, and determined that a threat enhancement should apply to this unarmed bank robbery. The court at that point then went on with regard to our second objection regarding obstruction to say no more than that I think he made the statement, therefore I'll adopt the findings, the suggestion of the probation and pre-sentence report. We are not suggesting that the court has to have a mini trial on the issue of perjury, although I guess in a certain sense the court did, or that the court has to address each prong of perjury, that is materiality, falseness, and willful intent, as if they were elements of a crime. But after all, this is not a situation where you're talking about something that background in terms of something about the crime, that is the use of the gun, or something he has done as part of the crime. It's not something that issues about his criminal history. It's some kind of additional and affirmative perjury. And both Dunnigan and the guidelines make clear that the court should be relatively careful in finding that additional wrongful conduct during the course of the case by the defendant, unless they in some way address the issue of willfulness, and I think that intent. I think it was well put in one of the a 1974 Seventh Circuit case that quoted what false swearing means, quoting a Wisconsin annotated statute. It's a false statement that the person who says it does not believe. I don't find anything in the record that shows or suggests that the district court explicitly or even implicitly, as the government would suggest, said anything about whether or not the defendant was willfully lying about what he said he happened, what he said happened. The record is...
It is benefit to urge that there was no threat, because then he avoids the threat enhancement, correct?
Well, I don't know. I was aware, and I tried to make it aware to him that he was going to lose on this issue. Yet he maintained from the time that he was interviewed down in federal prison in Memphis, I think, through his plea, throughout the whole proceedings, that I did not threaten this woman.
Well, I didn't see that. Did he say, I will accept the threat enhancement here?
No, he did not. Certainly he did not say that. No, no. But
I mean, had he said that, I think maybe you'd have a better position here. He would have said that. I didn't threaten this person, but I'll accept, because she says I did it, I'll accept that, but I don't want to get an obstruction.
Well, I don't know why. Because that's, he was not prepared to do that because... I'll turn that around, if you will. He was insistent that he didn't make the statement. He was not prepared to say that he said it, and I have to say that that supports my position that the court's got to address whether or not he believes or does not believe, whether it's an intentional, whether he really believes he didn't make the statement. In my reply brief, I believe I cited a case named Noble. It's a Seventh Circuit case. It seems to suggest that if you're deluded about what you say happened, you can't find the obstruction intent unless you find the guy wasn't deluded, that he really meant to lie. So I'll leave it at that, and unless there are any other questions.
Thank you, Counselor. Right.
Thank you.
May it please the court and counsel. I'm Brad Murphy, an assistant U.S. attorney from Peoria. Counsel has correctly indicated that his complaint is that there was a credibility determination concerning a specific offense characteristic that has spilled over into a finding of perjury by the defendant at his plea colloquy. The defendant had been told by Judge McDade at the very outset of that plea that any false statements that he makes at the time of this plea may later be considered perjury. The defendant nevertheless lied under oath to the judge at the time of his plea. He now concedes the district court clearly decided the question of credibility as to the express threat of death, yet he argues that the district court finding of obstruction of justice lacked a finding of willfulness.
Was it his statement at the initial where he described the elements of the offense where he didn't say anything, he didn't talk about the cap and so forth? Later, though, the judge specifically questioned him with regard to it. Do you contend that it was all of that, or was it just the latter questioning at a different time?
Well, both play a part here, Your Honor. The obstruction of justice enhancement was found based upon the falsity of his testimony at the time of the plea. That is, when he initially
part of it, please.
Where he denied
specifically.
Where he specifically denied making any threat.
Right.
That came up in the context of the first the judge's questioning, and then later the prosecutor gave a factual basis indicating that the threat, specific threat, had been made. He then denied that when asked by the judge. So it's the combination of both of those.
Yeah, I'm looking at it because it said, "Were you armed? No. And did you say anything to the bank teller that perhaps intimidated him? No, I did not. No, sir, I did not." Did you give him a note or anything? No, sir. Okay, how did you ask for the money? What did you say to them? You didn't say anything to them? I just said put the money in the bag. And that's all he said at that time. He didn't deny saying put a cap on your ass.
Actually, he did, Your Honor, if you'll read further in that transcript.
So it's in that same period, same colloquy.
I believe about page 15 and 16 where the prosecutor gives the factual basis, puts the specific...
Right, I understand that. The prosecutor outlined his factual basis.
Right. The lie at the time of the plea is the basis, because the defendant's testimony at the sentencing hearing, I contend, is the true evidence of the willfulness of the statement that he makes. Counsel says there's no evidence, well, he doesn't really contest the evidence. He says there's no finding of willfulness. And in that sense, he's correct. There's no technical finding of willfulness. However, the government submits that the statements made by the defendant at the time of the plea, and then his repeated testimony at the time of the sentencing hearing, show indeed the willfulness, and that the judge was correct. Now, your case law, such as Hickok, permits the willfulness aspect to be implied where there is clear evidence of it. The government suggests that there is clear evidence of it here, and that this court should affirm the defendant's sentence. I'd be happy to try to answer any other questions. If not, I'll take my leave. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Well, I just simply think there's a confusion about the notion of whether the defendant lied versus a decision on his credibility. And I think those are two different things under the case law. I don't think you'll find a case in the Seventh Circuit, and I don't think any other case, including Hickok, where there has not been some kind of finding that the defendant was involved in a strategy, a plan, a finding of lying, something that at least touches on showing that he was intending to deceive the court. There's just absolutely nothing in this record about this. I don't concede that there was... Well, I don't know what one says about whether the record supports it or not. The record certainly supports the finding that it was not true and not credible. But credibility, lack of credibility, does not mean lying. I mean, I ran across a case the other day where they were talking about the credibility, I don't mean to be flippant here, but the credibility of a drug-sniffing dog. Credibility has to do with whether or not it's true. It's a totally different situation under Dunnigan and under applicable note 2 of the guidelines with regard to whether or not the defendant is mistaken, is falsifying, et cetera. So that's our position.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, counsel. We will proceed.